Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener. We would also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable spiritual resources that will help you in study of God's Word and to better understand it and apply it in your life. We also have a TV program that's also on that website, the previous broadcast, that airs on Sunday mornings at 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6. We encourage you to give it a view. We also ask that you would attend worship services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we want you to know that you will always be warmly received. The time of those services will be given at the end of this broadcast, and we hope that you'll come and be with us. Today, we're going to conclude our overview of the book of Ephesians in the New Testament by looking at Ephesians chapter 6. In the first four verses of this chapter, he gives instruction on how the child and parent relationship is and the parent to the child. Beginning in verse 6, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Children are to obey their parents. They are the ones that have the authority in the child-parent relationship. When we are in their home, under their guidance, we are to be obedient. We are to obey them. And we are to honor them. We are to respect them. We are to respect their position as our parents. They brought us into the world. They love us. They take care of us. They give us the things that we need in our lives. And they try to teach us about God. They bring us up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's their responsibility. And we are to accept that admonishment and that training so we might learn to be the kind of people that we need to be when we grow up and go out into the world on our own. You see, responsibility and authority begin at home. It is not society's responsibility, it's not the church's responsibility, and it's not school's responsibility to raise our children. That is a God-given duty. Those children were given to us by God, and we must give them back to God by being the kind of parents that God would have us to be in order that we might please Him. We also need to understand that we need to do this in such a way that we don't provoke our children to wrath, that we do it with love and kindness. And they can see that by the way that we treat them and the things that we instruct them. In verse 5 through 9, it discusses the relationship of masters and slaves. In the first century, there were slaves. So you had this master-slave relationship. But no matter the relationship, there were responsibilities on both ends. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, and goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with them. Slaves were to be obedient to their masters. They were to do good work. They were to do what was expected of them. And they were to work as if they were working for the Lord, and understand that any reward that they would receive, and if they did what was right and honorable, God would bless them with their eternal reward. And they are to do it as if they're doing it for the Lord and not to men. And they need to understand that whatever good they do, God is taking note and He will give them the same. But masters, they're also responsible to treat their slaves in an honorable and upright way, not in threatening and not being unkind or ugly or using force. They are to do it in such a way, remembering they also are offering service to God, and they will be judged on how they treated their slaves. Now, we don't have master and slave relationship today, thank goodness, but we do have a relationship of employer and employee. And as an employee, I'm to do what I'm paid to do. I'm to do a good day's work for the pay that I'm to receive. And as a boss, I'm to treat my employees with dignity and respect. God is going to give, we're going to give an account to God in how we handle those relationships. And so whether it's child to parent or parent to child, or whether it's employee to employee, in these physical relationships, we have duty and responsibilities. And as the new man that was created in Christ, we're to conduct ourselves honorably. And if we don't, we'll be judged and held accountable for the sin that we committed. Now, in verses 10 through 17, we have the Christian armor. We're in a spiritual battle. And God knew that this battle would be difficult. And he knew our adversary would try to destroy us. And so he gives us the equipment that we need in order to defeat our adversary, the devil. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to be strong. We need to be confident. We need to hold our ground. We need not to be wishy-washy. We need to be firm and committed and know that as long as we stand with God, we are in the majority. Romans 8 asks the proverbial question, if God be for us, who can be against us? What can men do if we stand with the Lord? Put on the whole armor of God, then you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're going to need all of this armor in order to fight against the wiles of the devil, his schemes, his tactics. We're going to have to put God's armor on to protect us from the onslaught that we're going to get from our adversary. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We wrestle against someone that's real. He's a spiritual being, but he's real. He has power. And he rules in the age of darkness. That's his domain. And his intent is to destroy our soul and to lead us into a relationship with him that we might be with him forever in the devil's hell with him and his angels. But God is giving us the armor that he'll not be able to do that if we will use it. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, which you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This is the armor that we have, and it's a spiritual armor in order to take the fight to the devil, that we might win. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. What is this armor? Well, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. If we gird our waist with truth, if we have truth in our mind, if we have truth in our heart, and we apply that truth in our lives, that will give us a breastplate of righteousness. We'll be doing things that are righteous, things that are honorable, things that are in compliance with God's will, and we won't be doing evil or committing sin. That puts us in a good position with the Lord and to stand against the schemes of the devil. We also need to put on, shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to know the gospel. We need to study it. We need to put that on by preparing it, by putting it in our minds, putting it in our hearts, so we have it and we know how we should walk in this life. Above all, take on the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That faith is going to be a shield. It's going to protect us when we put our trust in God. It's the faith that we have in God that he will give us the things that we need in order to defeat our enemy. And we must trust him, and we must use that faith as a shield to know that God is leading us in the ways that are right. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. This is something that the devil has no answer to. This is something he cannot get around. Truth defeats Satan. When Satan tempted the Lord in Matthew 4, how did he defeat him? It is written every time with Scripture. Why? Because that's how we defeat our adversary. We defeat him with the Scripture. We defeat him with the Word of God. That's why we study. That's why we meditate. That's why we need to know it in order that we might be able to withstand the onslaught of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is going to try to win us away from God. He's a bad loser. When we accepted Christ and came to him, we said no to Satan and he wants us back. He's going to fight. He's going to do everything in his power in order to get you back. He can't make you serve him. He can't make you fall, but he can tempt you. But God is going to make it possible that he can. This armor is no good if you don't put it on. If you notice in the armor, there is nothing to protect your back. You can't run away from Satan. You're going to have to take the fight to him. But when you stand with God in his armor, Satan cannot defeat you. That's why this armor must be taken off and put on every day, because every day Satan is going to strive to get us away from God. And we need to pray always, according to verse 18. We need to pray always with supplication, being watchful unto the end, with all perseverance and supplication. This means that we have to continue to be faithful. It's not we obey God once and then everything's okay. We have to continue to fight the spiritual battle, and we have to continue to be faithful to God. The utterance may be given to Paul that he may speak boldly and make known the mystery. He prays for their prayers that he may speak what he ought to speak, that he might stand upon the words of truth, that he might speak them boldly and make the mystery of God known to those that he has the opportunity to teach and preach. For which I'm an ambassador in chains. He's in prison now, but he's still determined to teach God's word and to speak boldly as he ought to speak. Even if it goes against him personally, he wants to be the kind of servant that God would have him to be. And in his closing remarks in verse 21 through 24, he thanks some of the brethren who have been faithful and helped him, and he prays for peace and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Yes, we must love the Lord in sincerity. We must love him with sincerity that's demonstrated by active obedience. Ladies and gentlemen, understand what Paul is saying in this sixth chapter. He is telling them that they are in a spiritual battle, a battle for their soul. And Satan is going to be relentless. He is determined. He is precarious. He is going to continue the fight to try to win you away from the Lord. But the way that we protect ourselves is put on the armor of God, that we can withstand his onslaught, that we can withstand the wiles and the fiery darts that he fires at us proverbially in order to try to distract us, to discourage us, to lead us in paths that are contrary to God, that he might win us again and have us in his camp instead of the Lord. The life of a Christian is a spiritual battle. It's a battle between flesh and spirit. Whoever gains supremacy is the one that we give the power to. Is it to the flesh or is it to the spirit? The spirit must be fed through the word of God. That is the nourishment that feeds the spirit. And the spiritual battle is enjoined, and it is won by putting the spiritual armor on and using it every day. The book of Ephesians is a powerful, powerful book. It shows us the great grandeur and scheme of God in the church and all of its beauty and grandeur, and how God determined that before the foundation of the world began in order to save men. And then in chapters 4 through 6, he gave us practical lessons how we put on the new man and put off the old man of sin, that we change our character in order that we might be the kind of people that can help lead others to Christ and be pleasing to our master. How about it? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you winning? Maybe you don't have the armor on. Maybe we can help you see how you can better use it in a way that will profit you spiritually. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again next Sunday morning as we continue looking at the overview of the Bible. Have a blessed day.